Part 3. Listen to a talk given by Amy Greenfield. You will hear the extract twice. First, straight through, and then in short sections. Answer questions 14 to 19.
Red. Historian Amy Butler Greenfield was studying the cargo manifests of Spanish ships of the colonial era when she noticed how often cochineal was mentioned. She wondered about its apparent value and why the Spanish were bringing in so much of this stuff from Mexico. Her research led to the publication A Perfect Red, A Fascinating History of the Color Red. Listen to Amy talking about her book at the International Book Fair in Krakow.
In the days before synthetic colors, red dye mostly came from plant sources, such as henna or madder. In those days, the most vibrant shades of red were reserved for royalty. Dyers were always on the lookout for the perfect red dye, a red dye that was stable, easily absorbed by fabric, and resistant to fading. When Hernan Cortes arrived in Mexico, he soon encountered the Aztecs and their emperor, Montezuma. Montezuma reserved the right to wear the most brilliant red cloth, and his subjects had to pay a special kind of tax in cochineal insects. Why insects? Because, as Cortes soon discovered, the vibrant red color came from those insects. Cochineal insects are fragile little things, and they live on the prickly pear cactus. The males and females of the species look completely different. The wingless females crawl around on the cactus leaves, waiting for a flying male to find them. Males feed on the cactus until they reach sexual maturity, at which time their mouth parts wither away, and they can no longer feed at all. They live just long enough to fertilize the eggs. The female produces carminic acid to keep ants and other predators at bay, and she is, in a word, the red dye. If you pinch a female cochineal insect, blood-red dye pours out. If you apply the dye to cloth, the fabric will remain red for centuries. Bad luck, I suppose, for the female cochineal insects. The discovery of this insect led to a brisk trade between Mexico and Spain. Soon, the Spanish had a monopoly on the world's supply of cochineal, and by 1587, they were shipping tons of it back to Spain. Other countries coveted it, of course, leading to what we would nowadays call corporate espionage. People tried to work out the essence of the carmine red dye, but at a time when microscopes were primitive at best, scientists were unable to determine something as basic as whether it came from a plant or an animal. When they finally discovered that the dye came from an insect, people smuggled the cochineal insects out of Mexico and tried to breed them in Europe. But the insects were finicky and notoriously difficult to breed. Plus, you need a lot of cochineal insects to produce the red dye. About 70,000 dried insects produce 1 pound of red dye. The hard-to-get dye was used throughout 17th century Europe to dye the clothes of kings, nobles, and the clergy. It was also used in the production of hand-woven oriental rugs. Cochineal was so valuable, the price was regularly quoted on the London and Amsterdam stock exchanges, or commodity exchanges, as they were called at the time. With the development of artificial dyes, the trade in cochineal all but vanished. small groups of people continued to breed the insects, more to maintain the tradition than to satisfy a commercial demand. However, with the discovery that many commercial synthetic red dyes are carcinogenic, the demand for the red dye from cochineal insects is on the rise again. Did you know, for example, that it's used in red lipstick? I find it interesting that the cochineal insects form this bridge between the worlds of biology and commerce, and as such, it forms...